First Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Honour all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the king. Honour all men, love the brotherhood. Now we're working our way through this chapter that Peter has written. And if you remember, last Sabbath evening we spoke about how the Christian is free. There is no one that is free like the Christian is free. He is not only free with regards to worshipping God, he's not only free so far as his relationship to men is concerned, but he is also the servant of the living God. Free, yet a servant. And the apostle here goes on to show how this freedom and yet this service is expressed in every relationship that we may come across. It's a freedom, and yet it is service in our entire and every relationship of life. Not just in one area of life, not just regarding one relationship or a particular type of relationship, but in all the relationships that the Christian enters into or is found in. It is like every other aspect of being a Christian. You cannot compartmentalize being a Christian into just one area of your life. And neither can you compartmentalize your Christian living, if you are one who is truly a Christian, into one day of the week. To be a Christian is not just to be a Christian on the Lord's Day and then to live as you please the rest of the week. And neither is to be a Christian to have it affecting relationships simply with one group of people. It affects your relationship with all. Because as the apostle here says, you are free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. You are free and you are the servants of God. And following on from that, he then goes on to then say, in using this freedom, in serving the living God, honour all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the King. Now, just two things by way of introduction to this text, and we really want to look at the first two this evening, as the Lord will enable us, honour all men and love the brotherhood. But before we go on to look at these two aspects of what the apostle says, can we notice, first of all, two things? This text in its simplicity, and this text as it demands obedience. Its simplicity and its demand for obedience. Why do we say, first of all, its simplicity? Well, here is the apostle setting before us principles of life. Those who have been brought, as he has already said, out of darkness into the light of the gospel, here is the way that you ought to live. And when he does so, he does not do so with great doctrinal theories. He does so in the most simple and with the most simple and straightforward expressions. Honour all men love the brotherhood. Now it is right that we, whoever we may be, if we are the Lord's people, that we would and should and ought to dig into the Word of God. We ought to dig deep into the doctrines of saving grace. And we ought to grow in grace and in the knowledge of them. But that should never be at the expense of the straightforward teaching of Scripture in how we are to live with our fellow men or with our fellow believer. It may be that we would want to dig deeper and deeper into the words of truth, and that is good. But how we also ought to apply the most simple and straightforward directions that the Scripture gives us with regards to our living and our relationship with others. It is wonderful to go into the great doctrines of justification by faith. It is wonderful to go into the depth of what sanctification is. But yet, we must also learn what it is to honor all men and to love the brotherhood. That's what I mean when I mention the simplicity of what is spoken of here. But also the obedience that is demanded. When the apostle here says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. These are not directions for life and for living for the Christian that is somehow optional. You can either opt in or opt out. They are given as clear instructions to us so far as Christian living is concerned. We are to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. A text like this demands obedience from us. As we work our way through Paul's first epistle, his first epistle here to the church that is scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, you come across these texts that are instructions as to how we ought to live and how the gospel ought to change our lives. What effect the gospel ought to have upon the Lord's people. Because when he says here, honor all men, love the brotherhood, we will see that by nature, that is not how men are. It's a change, a wonderful change that brings a different perspective and different principles altogether. And let us notice that sometimes the Scripture addresses our own either preconceived ideas or our own prejudices. The apostle here is writing to Jews, and their preconceived idea is that salvation is of the Jews. They are a particular and special people. They have the preconceived idea that even though they might give respect to the magistrate, it will be simply be given out of convenience, where the apostle says, do it for conscience sake. Not convenience sake, but for conscience sake. And immediately the apostle here, as he is saying, honor all men, he is addressing the prejudice and the untested assumptions that these Jews have. That their honor should only go to the Jews and to no one else. But the apostle here says, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. So that you can see how the apostle here is addressing a prejudice, an assumption that these Jews have. Now it might be that in this area of Scripture, and what the apostle is saying here, won't particularly apply to me, or it might not apply to you. But how often do you find that when you come through the when you read through the Scripture, that your prejudice, your preconceived ideas are challenged by the Word of God? How often do you come to the Scripture and you find that the idea that you have contradicts what the Apostle is saying? In other words, you are being challenged by the Scripture. And it's good, you know, that we would be like the Bereans. That whatever ideas, assumptions we may have, that these assumptions and that these ideas would always be tested and put to the light of Scripture. These Jews who had their own ideas about the Gentiles, and the Gentiles were nothing, their ideas are now confronted by the words of the Apostle. And you know, that's so often how we ourselves need to be challenged in whatever assumptions or preconceived ideas we may have in whatever area of doctrine or life or whatever it may be. We should always seek to be challenged and to bring all our ideas, all our assumptions, all our beliefs, all the way we live, the way we live in a congregation, the way we live in a society. We should always bring our life to the test of the light of Scripture, that we would be challenged by the Scripture. Are you challenged this evening by what the Scripture has to say? Sometimes, you know, if when you're reading through the Scripture, you might be reading through a chapter and you read down that chapter and you come to a bit of the Scripture that you're a wee bit uncomfortable with, so you read through it kind of quickly, and you come to the other bits that you're actually a wee bit more comfortable with, because the Scripture's challenging you. But you see, we ought to be stopped in our tracks and always be asking the question, are we bringing our lives and our thoughts, whatever we think, what we do, are we bringing it to the light of God's Word? And how does it stand the test of God's Word? That's what was happening to the church here, the strangers that were scattered throughout these areas. They were Jews, and the Apostle was challenging them in their belief and in the way they were living. And you know, that ought to be a great challenge to us this evening. Well then, let us go on in having opened by these two simple thoughts on this text, the simplicity of the text and the challenge to obedience that was set before those. And he challenges them in this way, and he brings before them this: honour all men. And then secondly, love the brotherhood. Honour, he says, all men. Well, as we've already said, they were Jews, and they honoured Jews, but they didn't honour the Gentiles. They weren't willing to honour the magistrate, as was spoken earlier on, governors, and as those who are set for the punishment of evildoers. They were willing to honour those of their own sect, those of who were Jews, but they weren't willing to honour all men. And is that not perhaps even the case with ourselves at times, with fallen human nature, that we would tend to honour one at perhaps the expense of another? But this principle that the Apostle here is espousing, he said, it's the most practical aspect of life. And he goes on to show how practical an aspect of this honouring all men really is. Because he says, he goes on in the later on, and he's going on to this, he says, now, you apply that to the situation that you're in. You masters, he says, that are Christian masters, how are you going to treat your servants or your slaves? How are you going to behave in that situation? Are you servants? You Christian servants, he says, how are you going to be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward? See, he's beginning to apply this principle to the servants and to the masters in their own particular situations, how they ought to honour. And then, you wives, he says, he goes on in chapter 3, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. And that if they obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. So that you wives, you Christian wives, even when you've got a husband that is not himself a Christian, and he is willing to stay with you, then you honour your husband. Be in subjection to your own husbands. See, he's beginning to unfold here what the Lord himself says. Render unto all men. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar. Where render honour, where honour is due. And that is true in all of these relationships. The husband to the wife, the master to the servant, children to parents, parents to children. You see how this honour all men affects everyday life for these servants, for these masters, for these children, for these parents, for these husbands, for these wives. And you know, honour all men. You might say to yourself, well, does that not happen today? Well, you can see how it doesn't happen today. What a noble creation man is. When you go back to the creation of the world and you see God creating the heavens and the earth, the seas and the land and the trees and the grass and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, and then you see him coming to that day when he says, let us make man in our image. In our image. What a wonderful creation. Adam, a prophet, priest and king in the Garden of Eden. No wonder the apostle says, then give honour. Because even though that original glory is lost, he has now lost the knowledge, righteousness and holiness that once he had. But yet he is a rational creature. He is a creature that was made in the image of God. And can we say today that we honour all men? Does society honour all men? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. There is perhaps nothing, when one thinks of who man is and how he was created, even though he is fallen, when one sees what man was, it is the greatest incentive for the Christian to do that which is good for all men. But yet you find today abortion. A child is conceived in the womb, and perhaps that child is deemed to be not quite correct. Perhaps that child is going to be born into the world handicapped. The apostle says, honour all men, honour all life, honour that created life that is man. And we, like that, murder the unborn child. Euthanasia. Is there a respect to life? We are now told that doctors can being encouraged that doctors should administer death. Honour life, honour the creation that God has given us man. Do we honour? Not at all. You see, naturalism today acts as though man is just like the brute beast of the field. And what a fearful thing that is. When a society or when people look at life, look at man and treat him as though he is simply a dog or a beast of the field. And we forget what the scripture says. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man? The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and he took our nature. He became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He it is that is exalted up to the right hand of God in our nature. And there at the right hand of God, our nature has been exalted to that right hand. The apostle then says to these Christians, don't just honour the some, but honour all in the place in which God has put them. Be it the king, be it the magistrate, be it your servant, be it your master, be it your husband, be it your wife. Honour to whom honour is due. But if there is a difference set out here, and in the Acts of the Apostles, we read of something of this in Acts chapter 17, verse 25. Acts chapter 17. God hath made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. He dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell upon the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. It is God who giveth life, breath, determines their habitation. But while there is a difference between man and the brute beast of the field, the apostle goes on in the second instance to say, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. Now when he speaks here of the brotherhood, he is making a distinction. While we are to honour all men in the position in which they are in, there is a special relationship that does exist and ought to exist between the Lord's people. He says, love and show forth the love of the brethren. Indeed, it's one of the great tests of Scripture that indicates that a person is born again. What is one of the great tests? Herein ye know that ye have passed from death unto life, in that ye love the brethren. Love for the brethren. Now, the brotherhood here. In what way is the Christian part of brethren, of a brotherhood that ought to show this love? Well, the first thing is that it is a spiritual. We are spiritual brethren. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ, whoever we may be, whether we come from north, south, east or west, whether it be Jew, Gentile, bond or free, there is one thing that unites all the Lord's people together as one, and that is they are spiritual brethren in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Whether you're from Scotland, Edinburgh, whether you're from England, whether you're from Korea, wherever you may be from, he says, you are one in Christ. There is a spiritual brethren. And that you become by adoption. You are adopted into the family of God. You can rightly say that you are Abraham's seed. You are not children of the bondwoman, but you are children of the free. Remember how he's saying here, free yet a servant. You are children of the free. You are heirs of the promises. You are children not of disobedience, not children of wrath, but you are children of the promise. Children and heirs and joint heirs with Christ. You are spiritual brethren together. And it's not only that you are spiritual brethren. They're of the same character. Now, that doesn't mean to say that every Christian's the same. Of course they're not. Just the same as two brothers are not exactly the same. You look, this morning we were going through the life of David, and you look at all the seven brethren that came in before Samuel, before David came in, they were all different. But they were all brethren. They were brothers, outwardly. And you know, that's true of the Christian believer who is a child and an heir of promise. That's true of all the believers. They are different, yet they are one. They are renewed in the image of God. They are renewed in the image of Christ. They are in the world, but they're not of the world. And they look to the day when they will be like Him. They are sanctified by the Spirit. So that in that respect, being renewed in the image of Christ, they are brethren together. And you know, just like brethren, you know, I had another two brothers, and we were raised up together, and just like any other brothers, we learned together. You make your mistakes together, but you learn together. And that's the way the Lord's people are. They are taught together. Receiving, first of all, the sincere milk of the Word. They eat of that spiritual meat. They all drink of that spiritual rock. And that rock was Christ. They all pass and are baptized in that with one baptism, one Lord, one faith, being taught and raised up by the same Spirit in the same truths. And they are chastened together. The Lord's people are brethren together, and they are taught by the same Spirit, and they're taught the same truths. And they live together. They live together. You might not live next to Christians. And we'll mention Korea, because our friend from Korea is here. Wonderful having a brother from Korea among us. But there are many, many Christians in Korea that you might not know, you might not see. And yet, together, you live together. because you are fellow citizens with the saints. The scripture speaks of the church of Christ in heaven and on earth as one church with one head, one citizenship, with common joys, common sorrows. How many of you will read of Christians in foreign lands who are persecuted for their faith? China, Russia, or some of these places. And you hear of them being persecuted in Muslim lands. Does it affect you? Does it bother you? Of course it does. Because when one part of the body is touched, the other part is touched also. When one part rejoices, we all rejoice. When one part sorrows, we all sorrow. Because we are citizens with the saints. You might never see them, but all you do is hear of them and you pray for them. And you've got one inheritance. Just like children being raised up, brothers and sisters being raised up together, they've got an inheritance. And the Lord's people have an inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. A brotherhood. You have the one inheritance, and that you are joint heirs with Christ. And you have that one inheritance that is Him. In Him. This is how the Apostle Peter puts it in the previous chapter, and we've already considered it in the previous chapter. But let's read it again. It's worth our while reading what the Apostle has to say in the previous chapter about your relationship, not just with the magistrate, not just with all men whom you honour, but here now is a love of complacency that you don't have with the world. You have a love of benevolence. You are good to all men, but you have a love of complacency in the Lord's people. And let's see how the Apostle puts it in the previous chapter. Verse 22. Seeing, he says, ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. An unfeigned love. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Look at this. That in obeying the truth through the Spirit, with unto unfeigned love of the brethren, you love one another with a pure heart, and you do it fervently. You want me to tell you something? No wonder you, and no wonder I, no wonder we need to repent of our sin every day. Can you say that you love the Lord's people with a pure heart and you do it fervently? You love the brotherhood. You're on your knees day by day praying that the Lord's people would be encouraged. You're on your knees day by day praying that the Spirit would be anointed on His people, that we would honour the Lord in this. Do you pray every day that this brotherhood would be kept? You know, part and parcel of that love is seeking that those who are even outwardly part of this brotherhood are not ungodly, unholy. Well then, how are we going to love the brotherhood? It's an important question. You see, the brotherhood here, as the apostle speaks of it, it's not just individuals. The brotherhood is one. And the love that we ought to have for the brotherhood is not just a love that is manifested to the one, to the individual. It's to the whole as well. Do we pray day by day, first of all, and that we would watch for one another's souls? That whatever gifts and graces we may have may be used to the benefit and for the good of all? Do you seek peace in God's house? Do you pray that peace would be in Jerusalem? Do you pray fervently that there would be others added to this brotherhood? That by your love others may see it and they may glorify your God which is in heaven? For in so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Do you not seek the preeminence? Do you seek to be humble in the midst of this brotherhood because Diotrephes, he has sought the preeminent place? And by seeking that preeminent place, shows not a love for the brotherhood. Do you pray fervently for the Lord's cause here? Do you pray for the minister of the gospel here, who values your prayers? Do you pray for the preaching of the gospel here? Do you water whatever is said with your prayers? Do you pray over all who would come under the sound of the gospel, that they would embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they would love the brotherhood, and that they would honor all men, and that their lives would show forth who it is they serve and who is their master, that they are free and yet servants? Do you pray that that's the way you would live? Do you pray that that's the way we would all live? That the Lord would give a blessing, and that others around would be able to say, the way they said of the early Christians, look at them. Behold how they loved one another. They've been with Jesus, who himself loved the brotherhood, who poured himself out unto death for the brotherhood, who gave himself a ransom for sin for the brotherhood, who was nailed to a cross at Calvary for the brotherhood, who underwent the very rigors of hell itself, who could say the very power, the power of dogs was around him, the lion's roar was at his back, for the brotherood, and is now raised up in glory, the elder brother, and he calls his brethren, follow me. Honor all men. Love the brethren.